Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk. And today we're going to talk to Sylvia Day. She is an author. She's not really a new author. She's had other books out before, but she has this new series. The first one was called Bear to You, and the new one is called Reflected in You. It's a crossfire novel, excuse me. And she's here to talk about it. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I've never heard you interviewed before. This is like, how many books have you written besides this series?
Well, I've published 40 stories, full-length novels, 18.
Wow. You've been around for a while.
Oh, almost a decade.
I don't mean you're old or anything. I'm just
No. Well, I mean, in publishing, yeah, I know. I mean, longevity is a hard thing to attain, and you have to constantly work at it. So, yeah, I'm glad to still be here.
Well, I picked up Bear to You, and I wasn't sure I was going to like it, because I loved 50 Shades of Grey like we all did. I mean, what did you think of 50 Shades of Grey, by the way?
Oh, I think she did a good job. I mean, it was fan fiction, so I can't even imagine what that would be like to write something that you just are sharing amongst a small group of friends, pretty much. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, your books are not online first, were they? I mean, this is you writing books. It isn't you starting online and then it translates into the books, was it?
No. No.
Well, that's what they said about Twilight, too. They said, or was it Twilight? What was it they, maybe it was 50 Shades I'm thinking of. There was one thing they said was almost taken from Twilight, and then it was like a blog online, and then it became, I think that was 50 Shades.
That was 50 Shades.
It is like
Twilight,
what people,
fan fiction at first.
I mean, the bottom line is, to me, and with your books, your books are just interesting to me. I'm very caught up in these two. I'm very caught up with Gideon and Eva.
And I'm glad to hear that.
That's why I read them. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what, I mean, people want to, people are quick to put things down because a lot of times they just won't read them for whatever reason. So they think of a reason they won't read them. They make up a reason, you know, for some reason. I don't know. But all I know is I love the series. I've read two. I can't wait to read the third one. And I'm enjoying them immensely. And what does that say about me?
That you have good taste.
Yeah, that's right. There's a certain, I guess there's a certain group of people out there who think, well, wait a minute, they're erotic novels. They're sick. There's something sick or twisted about them. But I mean, they're not sick to me.
No. Well, and obviously, since millions of readers have read the Crossfire series and 50 Shades, there's quite a number of people who agree with you.
Well, does it bother you that people would compare it to 50 Shades?
No. I mean, it's a lot of the readers that I hear from that are just new to the genre, they haven't read anything since college. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. You know, they'd be the only things I've read since college are 50 Shades and Bear to You, or some of them will have Twilight in there, too. The only things I've read since college are Twilight, 50 Shades, and Bear to You. When your pool of books is that small, and, you know, two books happen to have young millionaires in them, it would probably seem rather similar. For those who read romance often, that's a common trope. It's very popular with readers, and so, you know, you can go to any bookstore and see tons of, you know, the millionaire's secret baby and...
Right, exactly, all those ones.
You know, I mean, it's the tormented millionaire and the young, you know, heroine who can help redeem him is one of the classic romance tropes. So it doesn't bother me. I can understand the point of reference and, you know, for somebody new coming into the genre, how, you know, it would seem unusual. Of course, as they keep reading, if they continue to keep reading in the genre, which we hope that we do, they'll find hundreds of books with the same theme.
Well, it's interesting. I think you have another book that just came out, too.
Yeah, well, I had actually a number of books that came out this year.
I saw, the reason I received books in the store, and I saw something else came in. I don't remember the title now. It's been a few weeks since I saw it, but it looked like a reissue of something you had written before, but is this something new?
No, it was, I mean, I had a new release in July. But a lot of what's coming out on the shelves right now are reissues of some of my previous books that have been repackaged. And
yeah, people are saying, I mean, one woman came in the store, she said, what else has Sylvia Day written? They want to read whatever else you've written. They think, you know, because they like this series so well, they want to read whatever else you've written. And that's a compliment to you. You've done your job, that they enjoy the books.
I'm gratified and very humbled by it. I'm glad that they, you know, want to try something else for me as well. And hopefully if they like it, they'll continue to read. I'm really glad. I'm surprised when I have readers that email and go, okay, I've read everything that you've ever written, and I'm still waiting for the third book in the Crossfire series. It's like, okay, so you got through 40 stories.
Right.
I'm hugely grateful that you made that big of an investment in me as an author that you enjoy.
Can I be so daring as to ask you how old you were when you first started writing?
Well, I've been doing this for almost 10 years, and I'm 39 now.
Okay. I think we can do the math there. You don't mind? I think if women are in their 20s or 30s, they don't mind. It's only when you get up in the 40s and 50s, it's like, well, I don't want to tell you anymore. You know? I mean, and I think I feel that way, too. And I still tell people I'm in my 40s, so it makes me feel better to say it. You know what? So what? Who cares? Call me a liar. I still feel better when I say that. But you've been doing it for 10 years. So what makes you a good storyteller in your mind?
You know, I don't know. Storytelling is just something, I mean, you either have it or you don't have it, I think. Writing is a skill that can be learned. Storytelling is really kind of an innate talent. Either got it or not. But it's writing characters that are flawed are what I enjoy about the writing process. To me, perfect people are very hard to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So all of my characters are flawed in some way or another, and that makes them sympathetic. It makes us, you know, root for them. We want them to overcome whatever adversity they're facing and you know, come out the other side in a better place than they were when they started. And I think as long as you can be emotionally invested in a character, then you're invested in their journey. And I'm fortunate that I've managed to write characters that readers relate to.
Now, is this the first series of erotic books you have written, or some of your others erotic too?
I've always written erotic.
Oh, you're strictly erotic.
Yes.
I didn't have time to read all 40 of your books. For the interview.
Yes.
But is this the first trilogy you've had, or have you had other trilogies, or is this going to be a trilogy? I think that's the first question.
Well, it was acquired as a trilogy. At this point, now that I'm, you know, into the third book, it seems likely that it will be four books.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
I had anticipated Reflected in You, which is the second book, to really go into both Ava and Gideon's past, but I was only able really to tell Ava's story. So we're left at the end of the second book still having to deal with Gideon, and he is way, way more messed up than Ava is. He's got
he's got a
much longer distance to go. So.
There are points in this book where I absolutely hate him.
Yeah, and that's part of it, you know, because we're looking at it from Ava's point of view. We only see what she sees. And, you know, he's very good at creating the image that he wanted to create. And then this particular one, he wanted to elicit certain responses from Ava, and that's the way he knows exactly how to get those responses out of her. In this case, you know, he needed her to present, you know, the image of a woman who had been dumped.
Right.
And so he did it very well.
I mean, just talking about the characters, I miss them. I miss reading about them. And that's the toughest thing for when you really enjoy books. And what makes these books special is the fact that you bring the characters alive. That's so important. I mean, how many books have we read where the characters just don't come alive for us? We just don't care. They don't seem real enough. They seem cardboardish. These characters seem real to me. And that's what I really enjoy about the books. That's why I read them.
Oh, well, thank you. I think that goes back to, you know, the fact that they're flawed, you know. We see them making mistakes and falling down and trying to get back up again, and then we can relate to that, you know, we can appreciate that. Otherwise, you know, I mean, it's very hard to connect with people who don't have something that we can watch them try to better about themselves.
Now, are you of Asian descent at all?
Yes.
You are.
I'm first generation Japanese American.
I'm glad you said yes, because if you said no, I would have been embarrassed probably. I don't know. But I was Japanese. I'm sorry, say it again.
First generation Japanese American.
Wow. Where were you actually born?
I was born here in Southern California, where I'm at right now. I was born in Los Angeles, so. My mom was a Japanese immigrant, and she actually naturalized. I think I was about 7, I think, when she finally, you know, got through the whole process to change her nationality. So
I think you're a natural storyteller, and I think you've got a lot of talent. There's no doubt about it. Now, this reflected in you actually came out as an ebook first. Is that true?
Bear to you, I put out. You mean yes? Okay. So
the answer is yes.
Yes, both books came out as ebooks first.
Oh, I didn't realize the first one had two.
And then the paperbacks came.
Right, which is unusual. That's unusual in the publishing field. Usually, it's the book and sometimes it's the ebook at the same time, but sometimes it's a little later.
Right. In this case, you know, with Bear 2, I originally put it out myself, so there it was just easier to do the ebook. And then with Reflected in You, I was actually a couple weeks behind on the turn-in for that, and the publishers from the minute I turn the book in, it's about 6 weeks till they put them out, which is, that's lightning fast in publishing, where it usually takes a year from the time an author turns in a book to the time it's released. So, you know, under a normal schedule, if I'm a couple weeks off, that doesn't make a difference. When you're, you know, putting the book out as fast as it goes in, then it makes a big difference. So in the case of Reflected in You, it was like, well, we can still get the ebook out at the same time
right. That
we originally planned, but we're going to have to bump the paperback back a couple weeks to make up for that two-week bump. And so,
oh, I see.
But we got a lot of feedback from readers, and they were like, no, because there's a lot of people who still don't read ebooks, and it was torture for them to wait for the book and hear people talking about it, reading it, and trying to avoid spoilers, you know. And so next time with the third book, well, and future books, we'll make sure that we put out both formats at the same time.
Well, that's good to know. Now, I think I read that the first week in ebook, there was like 279,000 downloads.
286,000.
It's even more than I thought.
Yeah.
I just took 7,000 readers away from you. I hope you. But that figure was astounding. I mean, you've got a huge following.
It's crazy. It really is. It astonished. Astonished.
Now, do the readers actually complain about what you write in your books at all? I mean, do they actually say, well, why did you do that or why did you do that? I wonder if they ever do that.
I mean, sometimes they'll be like, I just can't see him doing that. I think that's out of character. You know, I've heard that before. Mostly though, they try to influence where the book is going. I think this should happen, or I think they should do this, or I would like to see this. You know, and those things, you know, you have to just be careful and say, you know, stick to your original vision and not be swayed by, you know, differing opinions. At the end of the day, the reason why readers buy the book is because it's your story.
Right.
You never want to lose sight of the fact that it's your story, and it's not, you know, if every book read exactly the way we wanted it to read, where would be the fun in that? It's the surprises that keep us going.
Absolutely, absolutely, but it's so important to engage the reader right away. I mean that and believe me, I've read a lot of books, and it's not easy to write a book that is engaging right away. Some of them you just read the first couple pages and you're just not interested at all.
Right. I had an editor who told me once that every book should start at the last possible moment before the reader misses something.
Really?
So when you look at it that way, and you start to write the story, you can, I mean, sometimes I'll end up writing a chapter where at the end I'm like, okay, that actually didn't need to be here, and just throw it out, because the book actually starts at chapter 2, which means you slide it forward to become chapter 1. You can catch the reader up later. You know, if you drop them in the middle of something that's happening, you can catch them up on why that's happening over the course of the next, you know, few pages. But they don't want to read the build up, but you know, in the first chapter. Otherwise, you're like, okay, when is something going to happen? Is this going somewhere?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, then you always want to feel that when you're reading that there's. I mean, I feel better when there's always something happening in a book. I don't want to get to any dull parts. I don't want a lot of description and more description than story. You know, I want story. I want to know what's going on. I want to see them clash. I want to see Eva let him have it. You know, I do. I mean, I want to see them fight. I want to see them work out their differences, and that it's too much fun not to read about.
I agree. As a reader, I mean, most writers go into writing a story or a particular genre or whatever their signature is. Because as a reader, that's what they enjoy.
Now, do you know somebody like Gideon?
Not all the way. He's kind of a compilation of a bunch of different things. I can say that I was in New York about 3 years ago, and there was a beautiful man that stepped out of a building there when I was walking down the street, and he had a gorgeous suit on, and there was a town car waiting for him, and he's my proof. I tell readers that Gideon's out there.
He is out there. Now, did you get to know him, or you just happened to see him?
Oh, no. I mean, literally, I was walking down the sidewalk in New York, and he stepped out and crossed right in front of me and got into the car and drove off, but I was sitting there going, where would he be going? Who would he be meeting? You know, what does his girlfriend look like? Or his wife, or his significant other, you know, and you just kind of, your mind runs with it. I mean, that's how writers come up with most stories. It just takes a little spark, and then it explodes from there.
I mean, do you dream of meeting somebody like Gideon, or have you already met somebody like Gideon?
Oh, I'm married with two kids, so I'm good.
You're married to Gideon. But, I mean, Gideon is everything. He's the embodiment of everything a woman could possibly want.
And yet he is so messed up.
Right, and yet he isn't. And yet he's...
You know, and then there's moments, like you said, where he really pisses you off, and you're very angry with him.
I mean, oh, I not only get pissed off, I want to kill him.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if he was perfect, you know, where's the fun in that? It's but you know, I mean, he's so socially inept. I mean, in the whole first book, he just keeps stumbling all over Ava, trying, you know, so for his... put together as he appears to be, he just, you know.
And the question is he really right for her? I mean, that's also a question we ask ourselves. Is he really right for Ava? Does he deserve to have Ava?
I love that question when people are like, oh my God, please tell me they're going to have a happily ever after. I don't know. That means I've done my job. If it's not a foregone conclusion, I've done my job.
Right. And it isn't, as far as I'm concerned. I think they may break up.
apparently that's a concern a lot of people have, and so, you know, I'm doing it right. Otherwise, I mean, what's the point of reading a book if you already know all the answers?
That's right. What, do you read other romance authors?
Oh, romance is, especially erotic romance, is my go-to reading as a reader.
And it doesn't affect your reading at all? You don't read something and think, ooh, that's cool, I wish I'd written something like that?
No, I mean, the most that ever happens to me is I'll read something and go, oh, my God, that was so stupid. Why did she do that? She should have done this.
I could write better.
Not talking about the writer, but talking about the character, you know?
Oh, okay.
I don't want to smack that character. Why the hell did they just do that?
But do you think there are good erotic writers and bad erotic writers?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and there's a lot of ways you can get it wrong.
We're not going to name names here or anything, but
no.
That might be a little treacherous.
No, I don't. I don't. If I can't say something positive about a particular book or a particular author, I just won't say anything at all.
Right.
I mean,
when people ask me about a book, they say, is this book good? And if I know it isn't, I have to be honest. I'm not going to recommend a book to somebody that I don't like.
Right.
Even if they walk away and don't buy the book, I'm not going to have them buy the book and hate it. And then come back to me and say, well, why didn't you tell me you didn't like it? You know, it's tricky because once the customers don't trust you anymore, then you're in trouble.
There's that, yes. But, you know, reading is so subjective. You know, something that somebody else loves is something that you'll hate and vice versa. So
that's certainly true.
You give a recommendation for something, but it's always with, you know, I always tell people, take it with a grain of salt. You may love this.
Now, I'm sure Yeah.
For me, it just wasn't for me.
I'm sure you've been asked this any number of times, but I have to ask it. How much are you like Eva?
Well, you know, I have the same sort of jealousy issues that she has. I can be very jealous. I'm definitely a coffee addict, like she is. I do like my Nipschultz chocolates, like she does. Lounging on the weekends is in pajamas is one of my favorite things to do.
You are a lot like Eva.
So there are some similarities there, but of course, you know, Eva is completely her own person. There's so many ways that she's not like me, so many ways that I, you know, would aspire to be more like her, and so many ways where I want to shake her and say, God, why did you do that? I would never do that. So, you know, I mean, she's still her own person, but I mean, I could relate to her. She would be a friend of mine if you know, if she was around, she'd be a friend.
What's interesting about Eva is it Eva or Ava?
It's Ava.
Ava. I'm saying it wrong, aren't I? What an idiot. I'm saying it wrong in front of the author, you know?
No. I mean, actually, when they were recording the audiobook, the narrator said the same thing. It's because, you know, Ava's father is Latino.
Oh.
So it's, you know, it's pronounced the Spanish way.
Like the lady from Desperate Housewives.
There you go.
Now I can't remember what I was going to ask you. So there are audios of these books, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Translation rights have been sold in 37 territories now.
You're pretty famous.
It's pretty crazy, huh?
It is crazy. Do you get recognized on the street?
No. That is a great blessing. But you have to figure that I'm not out on the street very often.
That's true. You're sitting writing a lot of the time.
Right. I'm at home working most of the time. Aside from doing my mom chauffeur duties, I'm pretty much home writing.
Now, is each successive book getting harder to write for you?
No.
Are they all flow pretty easily?
There are times in the process of writing each book that are difficult, and I've had books in the past that were extremely difficult to write, you know, just something was wrong and couldn't figure out what it was. I have learned since then that the most important thing is not the release date of a book or how much gap there is between the last book that you wrote. Each book, you just have to take each book one step at a time. And the most important thing is that you give the book enough time to germinate and grow into what it needs to be. Before, you know, I was always so focused on, well, the last book came out, you know, at this time, and this one shouldn't be more than 6 months behind that one, and, you know, oh, October's not a great release month, let's move it to, you know, September. And I worried about all of those periphery things, and that's not important. Readers will wait for a book.
Right.
If it's a really good book.
Absolutely.
And they will not, they are not happy if they get a book quickly and they can tell that the author phoned it in. You know, like, oh my God, I was so looking forward to this book and I picked it up and what the hell went wrong with that? And
right.
So, at the end of the day, the number one thing that you can do is just promise that you'll write the very best book that you can and make that the most important thing and not worry about all the rest of that stuff.
Now, when did you write Bear to You? What year was that?
I wrote Bear to You last year.
Last year, okay. So was it during the phenomenon with 50 Shades that you were writing
it? It's funny because 50 Shades has been in the news for a while, that people feel like it's been, you know, forever. But, you know, 50 Shades didn't first hit the media until March of this year. And so by the time 50 Shades actually blew up, which was, like I said, in March, Bear to You was already in circulation with reviewers.
So you hadn't even read 50 Shades before when you were writing.
No. I mean, it was apparently fan fiction and such before then, but you know, I had no idea. You know, it that came out in March. Bear to You was already in circulation, and actually, when you know, because Random House acquired it.
Right.
And then put it out. They released 50 Shades on April 3rd, and I released Bear to You on April 3rd.
Is that amazing?
So both books came out on the exact same day.
But there's a lot of similarities between the opening of her book and the opening of yours. It's amazing.
You know, it's funny that, you know, people say that, and I'll just look at it, and I'm like, really?
Oh, I definitely see the similarities.
See, and I think they're so totally different.
Really? Well, they both have happenstance meetings. I mean, she just happens to meet him, and that's what happens in 50 Shades too. So, I mean,
she knew who she was meeting. She had a
Well, that's true. That's true. She did. But it did seem like a chance meeting nonetheless, even though she was going to I think she was at a seminar, right, for 50 Shades. Was it some kind of seminar?
She was doing an interview, I think.
Oh, you're right. It was an interview. You're correct. Well, you know more about these books than I do. you're right. It was. That's exactly what it was. She was interviewing him for something. So maybe it was. But the feeling of it, it just felt, they felt similar.
Well, you know that romantic first meet? I mean, that's always.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
You know, I think that you can feel that really intense sexual attraction, which for Gideon and Ava, it is not love at first sight for them. I mean, it's lust at first sight. They're very definitely sexually attracted to each other, and they start a relationship based on the fact that, well, when you're this sexually attracted to somebody, you might as well see what happens.
Well, you describe it so well that you had to have experienced it at some point in your life.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would hope everybody would. That would be really depressing to think that there are people out there who have not had that shock of...
And more than just with Brad Pitt. I'm thinking of somebody that you see. filling your own actor. I don't know who you would say. But, I mean, every woman has their dream guy, don't they? Famous dream guy?
Well, one would hope, yes. But hopefully they've met somebody in person who...
So what does your husband think about your books? Has he read both of them?
He likes the paranormals, and he also likes the contemporaries like Crossfire. He doesn't like my historical romances too much. They're a little bit too flowery for his taste, but he likes the other ones and he reads them.
And do you know how many men readers you have?
No, I mean, there's no really way to do a demographic.
You get a lot of mail from men readers?
Yes, and
you
I
do.
Get a lot of mail from couples. A lot of mail from couples where, they'll write and tell me, that they read the books together or, they shared the books together. And, and then I've had some guys that just email and say, hey, I'm a big fan. I've never read any of your books, but... my girlfriend does, and thanks.
Oh, that's really nice.
So things like that. So, and one gal sent me a note, and she said, I just want you to know that my husband, I have a line item in our budget for Sylvia Day books because he says that he has a really good time.
Really? That's really nice.
So I'm like, yeah, that's lovely. I mean, if somebody can read your books and really have an overarching experience with it, and especially if it brings you closer to your partner, hey, I love it. I've had readers email me and say, here's a picture of my daughter, and I'm sending this to you because I was reading such and such of your books.
Right.
9 months ago.
I haven't mentioned that Reflected Dudes out from Berkeley paperbacks. I should have mentioned that earlier, but I didn't, just to get a plug-in for the book. And, I can't wait for the number three. I wish you would send it to me early. Entwined in You. It's called Entwined in You, right?
That's definitely going to... Entwined with You.
With You. Excuse, I knew I was going to use the wrong...
Well, I know. It's like bared to you and reflected in you and then entwined with you.
With You.
So,
oh,
yeah,
yeah.
That's
better anyway. I really mangled your title, didn't I?
No, it's fine. Well, I was speaking to an interviewer yesterday, I think it was, who called Bared to You Bared in the Park.
And, oh, really?
Like three or four times, and I was just like, yeah, no. That's
why do you think that now there's such a demand for erotica? I mean, what do you think created that?
The media.
You think
that's
it was the media?
What it was. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They've been around for a while. I mean, Anne Rice was writing erotica before she wrote fiction. A lot of people don't even know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, erotica has been around for centuries, really. Centuries. So, it's always been there, but it's always been a niche genre. There's just a small core audience that enjoys the books, and it's always been that way. Obviously, I've been writing it for 10 years, so, I mean, there's definitely that to it, but it was, they always had really racy covers, you had couples in racy positions, or bare-chested men, or women, with their little bits of lingerie on. It was just not something that was mainstream enough, so, you mostly found them in bookstores. They used to be shelved in the self-help section, and then finally they got, really? You know, moved over into the romance section where they got picked up a little bit more. But you can really get them out and about, you know? And then it wasn't until, like I said, in March of this year when, you know, 50 Shades was very concentrated in the Northeast in New York, where there's actually, you know, of course, a large number of media people and outlets there, and, you know, it got kind of picked up that, wow, there's a lot of book clubs that are reading this, and then it just spread around. And once you get to that point, I mean, when you have that sort of media spotlight on something, mm-hmm. There's no way it's not going to become widely known. I mean, if toothpaste was covered this much, everybody would be using that particular brand of toothpaste.
Exactly. That's amazing. Yeah.
So if people are like, why now? And it's like, well, because this is the first time the media has ever really run with it. So, you know,
it's amazing there's so many people who aren't afraid to read it. I mean, when they know what it's about even before they pick it up. They know what the subject matter, and they know it's going to be very erotic, and yet they'll still read it. So there's quite an audience for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you want to know what everybody's talking about.
Right. Why?
You don't want to be the one who doesn't know what's going on.
Right. Now, do you see a movie out of this? Is there going to be a movie of this series?
I don't have any news to share yet, but, you know, definitely anytime you have a book that is, you know, where it gets to the point where Crossfire is now, where there's millions of copies, you know, sold around the world, then, of course, there's interest in that because the studios realize that.
Now, tell me your dream casting. If you could take two people and make them your characters, who would they be? Do you see any famous actors or actresses who would be good for the part?
At the time that I was writing the book, and even now as I'm writing the third book, I don't envision particular people. But, you know, the readers they daily send me photos of actors that they think, you know, should play the parts. And
now, Gideon is...
All of the suggestions that they've sent, you know, I'd say that Henry Cavill would be a pretty good Gideon. He's the right age. That's the most important part, is he's the right age.
And what is the right age?
28.
28. Huh. Interesting. And how about the woman? Any idea for the woman, Eva?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, really? That's a good pick.
Yeah.
I like that pick. She's got a good acting range, and she's very good.
She has a great vulnerability to her that she brings to characters that I think would be very good fit for Eva.
And if this happens, I'm going to call you up and say, I got this started. That's great. I hope we see it because it'll be interesting nonetheless.
It would be interesting, yes. I agree with that.
I don't know whether they have to pick. Sometimes they pick actors and actresses based on their popularity. Like a lot of people would say, oh, Channing Tatum, because he's people's sexiest man alive today. So, and he wouldn't be a bad pick.
No, he wouldn't. He would not.
He certainly got the handsome. You envision Gideon as being very handsome.
Yes. That's part of those two characters, Gideon and Eva, is that on paper they seem to have everything. They're lacking nothing when you look at them on paper. It's once you get to know them that you realize that for all that they have on the outside, they're really broken on the inside.
Now, I just wonder why Gideon can't say, I love you. I mean, and maybe that's to be revealed later, I don't know. But, I mean, I often wonder that when I was reading the books.
Well, it's, you know, for him, it's been said to him a lot, and yet the actions that have come with those words make them a lie. So for him, having heard that as often as he has and experienced almost the exact opposite, he just doesn't trust those words. So he doesn't want to use the phrase that he doesn't trust with somebody that he cares so deeply for.
He'll have to get over that.
Yeah, because it's important for Eva.
That's right. I'm talking about the book like I know what's coming next. I have no idea what's going to be in book three. For all I know, it could be something completely different than figuring all this out. I mean, I don't know. People out there are thinking, what does he know about book three that I don't? You know, I don't know anything. So I haven't
well,
even read.
That's because the book is not finished.
That's
so
right.
No one knows how it's gonna wrap up because I don't even know how it's gonna wrap up.
So when do you envision you finishing it?
Oh, I'll be finished by January, first part of January.
Oh, really?
And then it'll go into production right away.
That's great. And it'll be out in May, and then you'll be working on book four. But book four is definitely going to be it.
I would hope so. These poor people, I can't imagine if they had to go longer than that. If they're struggling still beyond that, I mean, they'll give up on me.
That's right. Well, I don't know. I mean, if book four is interesting enough, people are going to want book five.
Well, and that's part of writing a series, of course, is, you know, readers always want the next one. But, you know, at some point, you know, the story reaches its natural end.
Absolutely. I agree.
Taking it beyond that point, you know, does a disservice to the reader and to the characters. So
right. Well, we have to let you get back to work, unfortunately. It's been a delight to talk to you. You're such a sweet lady.
Oh, thank you. I've had a great time.
And the book is, you thought it was going to be tough, didn't you? People, that's the great thing when I do the interviews. The authors never know what it's going to be like. So it's like... So that makes it more fun because I get to hear their reactions to my questions, you know, and that's what makes it much fun. The book, again, is called Reflected in You. It's out in what they call trade paper, mature audience. It's only $15, so, you know, and it's well worth the price you're going to pay for it. And it's out from Berkeley's and all the bookstores. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.